Hi there, John Sadiq here, and welcome to this week's book club. And I hope you're really, really well and thriving. And this week was really interesting because I wouldn't call it going for a challenge read, but kind of, you know, last week we were looking at kind of Mary Oliver and Galway Kinnell, who are on the surface quite easy to read. And so this week I kind of went for some slightly denser material, and for our story, we looked at Araby by James Joyce, which is from Dubliners. And it's a tremendous story. Dubliners, of course, is hugely famous as one of kind of the great books of short stories of all time. And Joyce, of course, considered one of the greatest writers that has ever lived. And I myself, I'm kind of a huge fan. You know, I read Ulysses when I was in my late 20s, and it profoundly changed how I looked at literature and my kind of beginnings of writing. It kind of affected me so much that it really, really showed me what literature was capable of on a much more human level. Dubliners, of course, is earlier than Ulysses, but originally Joyce was kind of thinking that what became Ulysses was going to be another short story that would be in Ulysses. And he finished writing The Dead, and then this kind of project opened up and it became 7 years of work for him, and Ulysses was born. But back to Araby. Araby is quite a simple tale of kind of first love in some ways, but not the easiest to read, because Joyce, even back then when he's in his kind of 20s, is kind of quite dense with his language, maybe not showing off, but kind of, you know, he kind of, he's not using the kind of the most ordinary of language, but he's very, very descriptive. He's not at quite full power yet, which is interesting. He kind of comes really into his power with Ulysses. Well, at the end of The Dead, actually, the story of The Dead, which is also in Dubliners, you see kind of where Joyce is kind of really gonna go. But Araby just kind of is a kind of nice, clear, sort of simple tale, but there's that beginning of kind of density, and the kind of the themes are there that if you've read Joyce, you will kind of already know about. But there's nothing to fear. You know, this is one of the things with Joyce, is that people fear him because of this fearsome reputation. But Joyce is really beyond his kind of very obvious grand intelligence. He was very much a writer of quite human, simple, heartful tales. And Araby is one of those, so I would encourage you to have a look at Araby. And something happened with both the things that we looked at today within the group that really kind of showed me that the group is kind of becoming much stronger. We had a better turnout today. We had 8 today. We were lacking a few people because somebody had to be away for some very personal matters, somebody's on holiday, somebody else is off doing a poetry reading in London, which is fantastic, and somebody else couldn't be there because I think they're having breakfast with Jeremy Corbyn, who apparently is in town. So I was expecting there to be nobody around at all, but we had 8, and when we first looked at Araby, it felt like it was kind of a little bit impenetrable. So we just kind of sat with it for a little while and talked about it in a very kind of sort of simple sort of way, about maybe just looking at the images and things like that, and kind of the point of view in the story, and kind of what was really going on. And what we found is that after we kind of considered things together for a bit, one person adding a little bit here, well, I thought this, and I really like this bit here, and did you notice how he did that? It seemed that we kind of started kind of going a bit deeper into the story, and this seems to be the kind of like the power, another power of the group, which is kind of, you know, if we read something and maybe it's kind of a little more tricky to get in the first place, we might just be dismissive of it and think, oh, that's not for me, I'm not the person who can kind of read these difficult stories. But I found that we started adding to each other's kind of thought and adding to each other's feeling, and actually building a much richer kind of version of the story than any one of us had seen in the first place. So the power of the book group today was quite incredible. It's also lovely because people are beginning to kind of socially kind of mesh a bit more. A couple have gone off for coffee together after the group and things like that. And there was a lot less of the kind of referring it to our personal stories today and kind of really kind of wanting to kind of get to grips with the text, but without getting into any kind of, sort of crazy literature stuff. It was still just kind of reading a story together. So that was fantastic. Here's a little excerpt from Araby.
One evening, I went into the back drawing room in which the priest had died. It was a dark, rainy evening, and there was no sound in the house. Through one of the broken panes, I heard the rain impinge upon the earth, the fine, incessant needles of water playing in the sodden beds. Some distant lamp or lighted window gleamed below me. I was thankful that I could see so little. All my senses seemed to desire to veil themselves, and, feeling that I was about to slip from them, I pressed the palms of my hands together until they trembled, murmuring, "O love, O love," many times. At last she spoke to me. When she first addressed the words to me, I was so confused that I did not know what to answer. She asked me if I was going to Araby. I forgot whether I answered yes or no. It would be a splendid bazaar. She said she would love to go.
There you have it. So please have a look at Araby, or have a look at Dubliners, and let me know what you think below. And it'd be really interesting to think, especially sort of the end. What's going on there at the end? That's quite something going on there. For our poet and for our poem, we looked at maybe one of the greatest women writers of all time. And what's really fascinating about this poet is that she is largely unknown in this country. And yet, if you went to Latin America, her name is everywhere. There's not a town without a street named after her, especially in her home country of Chile. There are squares everywhere. She's on the back of the 500 peso note, or the 5,000 peso note in Chile. And she is, of course, Gabriela Mistral, who won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1945. 1945. That's just kind of, this is kind of almost 30 years before Neruda wins his Nobel Prize. This is before Hemingway wins his Nobel Prize. And her book, Mad Women, which today's poem is from, is like a series of kind of mid-length poems that could be biography, could be reflections on the different aspects of womanhood, could be conversations about what we're doing to ourselves and the earth. Mistral was an incredible reformer. She revolutionized the school system and made it kind of much more open and accessible to ordinary people. She's really somebody worth knowing about. And one of the problems that I kind of find, as we've talked about sort of before in these videos, with kind of the more narrow view of kind of, say, just English literature and its canon, is that we ignore some of the most important storytellers all around the world for our sense of self. And the thing I've always loved most about literature, which people like Mistral give us, is that we get to see what lives are like for others, particularly as a man reading a very sort of womanly poem. It gives me insight, like Sharon Olds does, into kind of what it is to be not just this, but to kind of, for more of our species, and the kind of the realities of that on a kind of, like Joyce, on a kind of very primal sort of level. Yes, there's enormous intelligence there, but then again, there's these basic things. This is what we see with Shakespeare, what we see with Joyce, which you see with Neruda, with Mistral, with Hemingway, with Fez. all the kind of cleverness in the world is irrelevant in a way when you kind of get down to it, because of the kind of the basic themes of being a human being. And so Mistral is a very human writer, and a very interesting figure to kind of delve into. So this is a little excerpt from Cross-Eyed Mother.
And the cross-eyed one went opening the night as if in slices. And the procession followed through her fissures and her gorges. When the mother was questioned at the return of day, Gaia, playing at two worlds, wouldn't even lift her face. And when they laughed at her, she smiled and held her peace. And on account of her silence, her children made up tales. They say she didn't age in her face or in her step, though everyone grew old that she'd ever suckled. They made her a tomb for the hour that had come, and she laughed and laughed to see how they would dig it.
Just like with the Joyce, the same thing happened in the group, that it took a little while to settle. You know, there was this kind of, well, I don't read poetry, I've no idea what this is about. That was, you know, one reaction. And again, of course, that shows up a flaw in how we work with literature in schools and in universities, and that we think that literature is about something, that it has to just be an understandable thing by the narrow mind. And we miss out on the humanity, the depth, the painterly qualities of the literature, the emotional world of the literature, and it's all rendered into, what does it mean? I get it or I don't get it, you know, and I pass my exam or I don't pass my exam. And we're very blessed, kind of, once we're older and out of the school and university system, hopefully something in us survives and we can kind of get back to story again, and kind of what, you know, literature's main purpose of kind of talking about what life is, really. Next week's pieces are actually going to be much more simple by comparison, so I just wanted to have one week where, in this first run, where, you know, we've been going for 4 or 5 weeks now, I wanted to really kind of give them something a lot more solid in terms of literature, and see if this kind of sort of deepening into the work would take hold. So we've been successful there, a successful experiment. So I hope you have a really beautiful day. I'm going to finish my coffee, which I haven't touched yet, and let go of what I've been reading, because I have more things to kind of reflect on. Getting ready for my next little project with the RLF, which is to kind of do an interview with this lovely children's writer. So that comes next, and I'll see you next week. Take care.